Hello, this is Esperanza Phoenix, and welcome to Unpacking Life's Crazy, a podcast about a lifetime of unfortunate, unusual, and enlightening experiences, and how some of us use humor and hope to survive mental illness. In our podcast, we discuss controversial and adult topics. We are all adults here. There will be swearing. Welcome to episode 17 of Unpacking Life's Crazy. Thank you for tuning into the podcast today. I want to make you aware that the podcast is now also available to watch on video on my YouTube channel. I'm having a little trouble working out the custom URL situation, but if you go to YouTube and look up either Unpacking Life's Crazy or Esperanza Phoenix, it should come up just fine. Unfortunately, this episode isn't quite as visually interesting as the last one. That one's a lot more fun. But if you really want to see me at my worst, here's your chance. So let's get on with episode 17, What Invisible Illness Looks Like. For those of you watching, you'll notice right away that I'm a mess. My hair is a disaster. I didn't bother to take the time to clean up the room. And there's a very good reason for this. I have my makeup on. I didn't do much with my hair because, frankly, holding my hands up above my head for that long is painful. And ordinarily, I wouldn't let anybody see me like this. There's a reason why people have invisible diseases, and that's because we tend not to want people to see us when we're having our bad days. So here I am on a bad day, making my disability visible, and I am kind of self-conscious about this. But my motto has always been there are no bad hair days, just good hat days. So, let me take care of that part for myself, not necessarily you guys. I'll feel a little better looking at this cute hat instead of my weird hair. I'm also overdue for a hair dye, but that requires me putting my hands over my head for a really long time. So we'll have to see how many pain days I have before I can get to that. So the reason why I'm doing this is because I am not the only person who suffers from an invisible disease. There are a lot of people out there who do. In my case, it's fibromyalgia and PTSD. For some people, it's diabetes. I have a dear friend who has, let me see if I'm pronouncing it. I hope I pronounce this right. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. For a long time, they thought it was fibromyalgia, but it's not. And, you know, you see her on the street. She looks like she's fine. She's fine. You know, she's not missing a leg. She's not always limping. I've got that before. Part of it is, I clean up nice. If you've watched my other podcasts, you know, I can put on makeup and make an effort on good days. On good days, I'm not afraid to be seen, and I'm not afraid to be out in the world. But if I am having a really bad pain day or really bad anxiety day or even depression, I don't want people to see me. I don't want people to see me in pain. And if I do absolutely have to go out when I'm in that condition, I draw on my acting skills. I pretend that everything's okay. Put on a happy face. Hi, how's everybody? Everybody having a good day? That's great. But inside, I feel like shit. It sucks. And I'm not good at allowing people to see me when I'm weak. I don't want to burden people when I'm in pain. And I don't usually reach out to my friends and tell them when I'm having a bad day. I mean, if they happen to call and I'm having a bad day and they ask how I am, if they're a good friend, I will tell them today's a shitty day. I'm getting better about admitting my limitations. I'm getting better about asking for help when it's a bad day, when I need the help. So this will be a short episode. Why am I having a bad day? Well, sometimes there's just no rhyme or reason. I don't know. The pain, I mean, there's always some pain, but some days are so much worse than others. Today, the main reason is I didn't sleep right. And if I don't sleep, then the fibro pain is much worse the next day. And then sometimes that pain carries into the night, which makes it harder to sleep. And then it just like snowballs and it gets worse and worse. And then that contributes to my anxiety because I'm afraid that the next day is going to be equally painful. And that's an added stressor. But the insomnia thing has been an issue since I was a child. And it may even be a contributing factor to why I actually have fibromyalgia. I don't know. When I say I've had insomnia, I've had it my whole life. Like I remember when I was a child, 5 or 6 years old, I'd get put to bed at 7:30, I think was my bedtime. And I would lie awake for hours. And I know for sure that I wasn't just like, oh, you're dozing or whatever, because I would listen to my stepfather, listen to the late news each night, and I would hear him go to bed and I would still be awake. There's something, it's like my brain doesn't have an off switch. It just goes and goes. And I use all kinds of techniques now. So if you're one of those people who falls asleep easily and quickly and you know a miracle cure, maybe you had insomnia and you figured it out, oh, by all means, please. Like, send me a message, put it in the comments. I'll take any suggestions. Seriously, I'm not afraid to try new things. But some of the things I do is I use the blue blocker glasses at night when I watch TV before bed so that I'm trying to stop that stimulation that can make me more awake. Lately, I've been setting an alarm, so I even put away my phone by 9 o'clock. So that I'm not looking at that screen at all or being stimulated by social media or any of those things. I have an eye mask that I wear at night. I have a program that I use that does a sleep meditation and then plays a soothing sound like river or ocean or something like that. Sometimes I'll do a hot bath with Epsom salts to relax and help with the pain. I, of course, you know, I use cannabis for pain, but at night I usually take it in an oil or a tablet form because it lasts longer. It's not like if you smoke it, then you get the effect quicker, but it doesn't last as long. So I do that. So my supplements, I made a list so I can kind of monitor. And like I said, didn't help me last night, didn't necessarily mean anything. And I'm also having a rough time because we just came out of the full moon weekend. So this has kind of been building up. I don't know why I can't sleep when there's a full moon. I have blackout curtains. I have an eye mask. If I don't know it's the full moon, I still have trouble sleeping. And then like later, I'm like, what the heck is going on? Why is it so much worse? And then I can check the moon schedule and go, oh, yeah. I'm not the only person that this happens to. And my daughter inherited this too. I feel sorry for her, but she also inherited the fibromyalgia. Ugh, poor thing. So the supplements I'm currently taking to help include GABA, 5-HTP, L-theanine. I take Novacril oil, which is for the omega-3s, but that combines with something called phosphatidylserine. I hope I pronounced that right. And I also take vitamin K2 with D3, and I take a triple dose of that. Vitamin D is supposed to, well, my vitamin D was like really freaky low a year ago when I did the blood test thing. And vitamin D is supposed to help with sleep. It also, of course, helps your bones and calcium absorption and all that. And nice bonus is they found that people who have sufficient vitamin D tend to not get a severe version of the coronavirus if they do get it. So I was pleased when I did my last blood test to find that, yay, I have a good amount of vitamin D now. So what happens when I don't sleep? The fibromyalgia pain is just so much worse. One of the symptoms is fibro fog. And I think part of that is just the mental effort it takes to ignore how much you're hurting. I didn't even realize that it was something that I was doing for a long time because I'd I was diagnosed in my mid-20s. I've been dealing with this pain and these issues for a really long time. And for a long time, I didn't even have cannabis as a relief for the pain. I basically had nothing. There was nothing. It was just, yeah, you're hurting. I'm sorry. Have a hot bath. Yay. So what helped me to really realize how much mental effort was required in my daily dealing with it was two things. The first was I was going to a clinic that was really helpful with like complementary care, and they had a weekly yoga class, which is great. It was really helpful. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist in the area where I am now. I'm kind of bummed about it. I do try to do yoga with videos from time to time. But the yoga instructor, because she was tied with the clinic, part of it was about pain management and working with people who had specific conditions like mine. And one of the times we were doing Shavasana, I think that's what it's called. So I'm no yoga expert, but Shavasana, when you lay there and you like observe your body and your breath and all of that. So we were laying there and she asked us to relax and observe our body and to basically take an assessment, you know, work your way from your toes all the way up and really feel into your body and what are you feeling right now? And it made me actually acknowledge the amount of pain I was in. And by the time we reached my hips, I had started to cry. And by the time it reached my shoulders, I was just tears streaming down my face because I was in a lot of pain. I was in a lot of pain. And I had already pushed my way through this yoga class, you know, like nothing. But I was hurting. And I'm not good at acknowledging that when I'm hurting. I'm not good at asking for help, but I did that today. We'll get to that in a minute. So the other thing that really made me realize that component of how much I'm in denial and I use a lot of brain energy to just ignore it was when I was dealing with the disability process. They suggested I keep track of what my pain level was on various days and throughout the day and see if I could figure out what triggered them and what I did to help it. Other than the sleep issue, which is clearly a big trigger for me, if I get a really bad night's sleep, I know that it's going to be a bad pain day. But other than that, sometimes there's just like really no rhyme or reason. So I downloaded an app, a pain management or a pain monitor. I don't even remember. I can look it up. If you're interested, ask. I'll look up the app. I'll put it there. But I no longer use the app. And I actually had my therapist had me stop using the app after a couple of weeks because I was checking in and then evaluating where I was throughout the day. And I found that my standard pain level was a 3, and sometimes it was up to a 7. And just realizing and focusing on how bad it was so depressing. It was so depressing to be like, oh, this is why I'm not getting shit done. This is, there's a lot of things that I would really love to do in life. There were a lot of, okay, I said I was going to do this. Sorry, I'm feeling really self-conscious right now. But I said I was going to do this, so it's very depressing. How many opportunities I've missed out on because of the pain and the anxiety and the PTSD, which is, I don't want to be a downer, you know? I like to make people laugh. I'd love to be able to do stand-up comedy. Lord knows I can't couch surf, and I have trouble standing around for 2 hours in an open mic waiting my turn because of pain. And it's just incredibly frustrating, and it's incredibly disappointing. And I try not to show this side of myself to people because I would much rather you see the cheerful, person that I am on good days. And so that's why sometimes too that my podcasts are further apart, because I'm waiting for that good day when I can finally tackle that thing that I want to tell you about, or feel up to making myself presentable. And I promise I will soon. You know, the bad days don't last forever. Sometimes it's a week. If I'm lucky, this one would be another day or so, and I'll feel a lot better. And I promise as soon as I'm feeling better, I'll do a much happier podcast. But I think it's important to talk about this for a couple reasons. The only way that an invisible illness becomes visible is when we allow you to see it. And you may have friends who are suffering, who have fibromyalgia or depression or any number of diseases that you look at them and, oh, you look fine. And a lot of times they only want you to see them when they look fine. And it's not that they want your pity. We really don't want that. But understanding is really important. And if you have a friend who has something like fibromyalgia or whatever it is that they have, respect them and understand that there are going to be times when we have no control over how we're feeling and when this comes on. Another joyful symptom of fibromyalgia is irritable bowel symptoms. So yeah, if that hits, I'm not going anywhere because I have to be near a bathroom, and it's embarrassing and it sucks. And, you know, you healthy people with healthy guts, you don't know how freeing it is to be able to sneak a fart at a party, because we can't do that. We don't know if that's all it's going to be. It's embarrassing, but it's true. So, I mean, thankfully, I've never had that incident happen while in public, but that's only because I'm incredibly cautious. You know, it's like, and it's stupid to have to run to the bathroom for gas, but that's part of it. It's not a fun thing to talk about. It's not, but if you have friends that are suffering from invisible illnesses, please still invite them places and let them know it's okay if they have to cancel. Because one of the things that we do is we don't make plans to go anywhere or do anything, because we're afraid of letting people down. Because when we're making the plans, maybe we're having a good day and we think, yeah, that'd be great. I really want to go out and listen to live music. I really want to go out and do this. And then the day comes and it's a bad day. And then you're like, do I force myself to go because I don't want to disappoint people? And then I have to act the whole time like everything's fine, but everything is not fine. Or do I cancel and then disappoint people and feel guilty because I let them down? And it just adds to the stress and anxiety of trying to exist in the world. And I guess my main reason for being vulnerable and putting this out here is to help you have better empathy for the people that you care about. This is my situation. Most of you don't know me, you know, whether or not you have empathy for me is kind of irrelevant. But most of us have friends who are dealing with something. Maybe they're undergoing cancer treatment and they're really struggling, to hold it together. And even though you don't see the ugly parts, those ugly parts are happening. They just don't want you to see them. And, you know, I don't push them. Because you know, I have dear friends that I love very much that I will still avoid on my bad days. And I'll tell them, though, because they're my good friends. I'm having a bad day. I'm not prepared to hang out. I'm not prepared to go anywhere. Sometimes I'm not even prepared to have a telephone conversation because it's just everything is exhausting. Everything's exhausting. So some of the things that I'm working on, is admitting when I'm not capable of something. And whether that's I can't fold the laundry, or I can't go to the store, or whatever it is, I'm just not up to it. And when my children were little, I made a real effort to communicate with them what was going on, because as an empath, when I was a child, I always assumed whatever was going on with my parents was my fault. If they were angry about something, if they were super quiet, if there was something going on, I always assumed it was because I had screwed up in some way. I did something wrong. I don't know what I possibly did wrong, but you know, it's part of the anxiety. It's part of many things, but I blamed myself a lot and felt a lot of guilt as a child when my parents were dealing with whatever my parents were dealing with. And who knows, sometimes it probably was my fault, but a lot of times it probably wasn't. So when I was having bad days and my kids were little, I would tell them, you know, today's a bad day. Mama's hurting. I didn't get enough sleep. I'm having a rough day today. So they would know that if I had a scowl on my face, if I was just not up to making them dinner, if I wasn't excited about the drawing they showed me or whatever it was, that it wasn't because of them. It was because I was dealing with my disease. And so communication is important. And now that they're grown up, my adult daughter, Kira, she lives with us. So if I'm having a bad day, she's really empathetic too. She'll like see the look on my face. Mama, are you okay? I say, no, having a bad day. It's a bad day. She gets it. You know, she had to grow up with this. And that's another thing I feel kind of guilty about sometimes, you know, not being well for them, but I don't have any control over that. So the other thing that I've been working on, besides not pretending that everything's okay when things are not okay, is asking for help when I need it. Not pretending to be tough when I'm not feeling strong. So today, my boyfriend's a real planner. I tend to make most of the meals. You know, I try to do the house stuff. I try to do the meals because I'm not capable of going out and doing a 9-to-5 job. That's what he does. And I'm happy to do that portion of it when I'm able. I actually like cooking. But he's a planner too. So around 11:30, it's not even lunchtime, he says, would you like me to take something out of the freezer to thaw for dinner? And I just flat out told him, I said, you know, could we order a pizza or something? Because I'm just having a really shitty day and I'm really hurting. And that's the nice thing. He really is supportive. And if I ask for help like I'm supposed to, if I communicate, he will help me and he gets it because he also has fibromyalgia. Luckily, he doesn't have the insomnia, and oftentimes he doesn't seem to suffer as much as I do. But yeah, he has his bad days too. So he gets it. And so it wasn't even a question. He didn't argue with me or whatever. It was right away, oh, well, where would you like to order from? Would you like to order from this place or that place? We've settled on Pyology. Good place. I like their cauliflower pizza crust. It's really good. But, you know, that learning to do for myself by asking for help when I need it is something that I'm working on. I'm working on it. So I'm not going to go into the insomnia too much today or any of that, because I think when I'm feeling better, I want to do an entire podcast about insomnia and the techniques that I use to deal with it. I read something recently that said that the average person takes 7 minutes to fall asleep. Well, there must be people that fall asleep like in a matter of seconds, because when you put me into that average at like an hour or more to fall asleep, that must be how it balances out. Insomnia is hell. It's hell. The next episode I do, I'm going to talk a little more about, one, the dangers of not getting enough sleep. I've been watching some videos about, you know, the importance and how it affects your brain, how it affects your body chemistry, your nervous system, and all of that, which, you know, maybe the lifelong insomnia is part of why I have fibromyalgia, because it, it has such a profound effect on everything about you. I'll tell you about everything that I use to try to sleep better. Sometimes it works, a lot of times it doesn't. Additionally, I'm older now. As I said in my last episode, I'm now 49. And so I'm having hormonal fluctuations too. I've called my doctor to see if we can do something about that and see if that helps, because like I said, it's been lifelong, but it's worse lately, because before it was like, yeah, I had the insomnia, but if I took enough cannabis, if I took enough, you know, if I jumped through enough hoops, I could usually manage to get 8 hours. And that's not working lately. It's not working lately. And I'll do some catch up napping here and there. I hope that this episode helps you to understand invisible illness a little bit better. I hope I didn't scare you too bad with my lack of makeup and the mess that I am, the mess all around me. But I really wanted to be real with you guys so you understand where I'm coming from, and more specifically, so that you have a little more understanding for all of the people in the world who deal with invisible illnesses and disease. And you know, just be kind. Just be kind, and don't be like, oh, buck it up. You can do it. You're just fine. Because I can guarantee you, most of those people are trying really hard to be fine. And they're showing you the best of themselves most of the time. And a lot of times they're acting through pain and, you know, certainly aren't telling you about gut issues because that's embarrassing. And when you're dismissive of what they're suffering, or you act as if they're trying to get sympathy, or they're pretending they're hurting more than they are, I can guarantee you they're probably hurting a lot more than what you're seeing. Because most of us, I mean, I'm sure there are some hypochondriacs out there, they do exist, but most of us are trying really hard not to be a burden to the people that we love. And we're trying to hide away the ugliness of what we deal with, so that nobody else has to deal with it with us. And I thought it was important for you guys to hear that. So this is me on a bad day. Probably won't be doing a lot of videos like this. I hate seeing myself like this. I prefer to put on a happy face and wait for the good days to do my podcasts and my recordings. So if you've watched all the way through this, thank you. I appreciate it. Take what you've learned. Be compassionate, you know? And until the next podcast, please take care of the ones you love. Thanks a lot. I hope you're having a good day, even though I'm not.
That's going to do it for today's episode of Unpacking Life's Crazy. If you'd like to learn more about this episode, our guests, or anything else related to Unpacking Life's Crazy, check out my website, esperanzaphoenix.com. To support what I do here, please consider purchasing some of my artwork, either at my Etsy store, esperanzapaints.com, or at espphoenix.redbubble.com. Last but not least, I want to offer a special thanks to Chelsea Wild, the talented musician who composed the theme for this podcast. To find more of Chelsea's wonderful music, visit minorbirds.info. Remember to subscribe if you want to be notified the next time we release an episode. And until then, take care of yourself and those that you love.